Blog Talk Radio.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of a radio station, WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't tell me no other place, I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of a radio station, WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't tell me no other place, I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. But I leave it right out. Don't get mad because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming from the good Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
You know, in Augusta, Georgia, I used to shine shoes on the steps of a radio station, WRDW. I think we started at 3 cents, and we went to 5 and 6. Never did get to a dime. But today, I own that radio station. You know what that is? That's Black Power. Right here.
Don't tell me no other place, I don't know nothing. Talk about my home, just give me some Georgia, some Alabama, some Mississippi, some New York, and some California, Texas, and some North Carolina, and some South Carolina, and Virginia, some Illinois, and some West Virginia, some Dakota, South Dakota, North Dakota. See, I can't name all the different places now. But I leave it right out. Don't get mad because I just, you know, just a cat trying to keep it going. Some Ohio, too, yeah. Some Indiana, Michigan. Yeah, I'm coming from the good Kentucky, Tennessee. Yeah, I'm getting it together, you know. Just give me a little time.
All right, Jalito Oseo, this is El Ratawa, a.k.a. Rafi Smith, and y'all are tuned in live to our Talk Times of America Network. Today is February the 1st, 2018, according to the Gregorian calendar. And I want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. You know, I got my man Gavin Pollard on the show with me tonight. You know, so it's going to be good.
Yeah.
He's going to be here, you know, just spitting that knowledge and, you know, as always, sharing his wisdom with us. And yeah, we're going to basically deal with Black History Month, you know, and everything that's surrounding Black History Month, all the, you know, the mystery and how did it start, where did it begin, and what is its purpose, you know, for us as indigenous people. And as always, I want to just start off the show, you know, thanking, you know, my ancestors, the great ones before me, for allowing me to use this platform and give out this information to the people. All right, so I'm sure everyone is familiar, you know, with Black History Month. in its origin. And for those of you who are not, you know, Carter G. Woodson, in 1926, you know, he created this Negro History Week. And this was because, you know, he wanted to implement more of our story, you know, what he said. He wanted to implement more of our story and culture into the school books because he wasn't seeing it, according to him. So he created Negro History Week in 1926. And then later on, President Ford, who was the president during that time, transformed that into a national holiday and into a month. So it became Negro History Month. You know, and then later on, Black History Month. You know, and presently, you know, under Trump and Barack Obama, is African American History Month. So, like, these, and these are all by proclamation. Like, you can go on the website of United States Congress or whatever, and they have United States proclamation, presidential proclamation, African American History Month. So, you know, that's funny.
That is funny. The name that changed three times.
Right.
Which makes me think, is it three different histories or is it one history?
Exactly. So, like, what is the Negro, what is the Black, and what is the African-American? Are they all the same, or are they separate, or what? Or is it even us, you know?
Exactly. Well, on a positive note, it was brought to bring more awareness to the masses about the accomplishments that we have already had here in the Western Hemisphere, as well as the greater world. So that's
yes,
a good
indeed.
Thing.
Yes, indeed. Yes, yeah, it's a lot coming out. You know, a lot of people are just starting to realize it's more than just, you know, MLK and Malcolm X and Jesse Owens and Frederick Douglass. You know, they're all very powerful figures in history. But it's like so much more of us that didn't get the spotlight, you know, that did major accomplishments. You know, that's what I like. I like seeing that, like, just more of our story and our impact, you know, we built America literally from the ground up. And a lot of us, you know, aren't really in the spotlight and showing, you know, some of the spectacular things we've done. For instance, I recently found out the creator of LASIK eye surgery. You know, you seen the commercial for, like, laser eye vision and how to get your vision corrected, because, you know, if you have cataracts, then it's this device, the laser, will clear those cataracts away in your eye. And that's actually, that process was developed by a sister, and I was amazed just learning that out.
Y'all didn't know that.
Yeah. LASIK eye surgeon. See if I can pull her name up.
Even with that, for the eye, you know, those are a windows to the soul, you know.
Yeah.
We're soul people. Americans.
Yeah. Yep.
With the rich soul.
Exactly. American soul.
It's always a connection.
Yeah. Oh, and the doctor's name is Patricia Bath. Patricia Bath, like shower bath. So Patricia Bath, she's the inventor of LASIK eye surgery.
Patricia Bath.
Yeah. she was like the only woman, period, regardless of, you know, her skin color, the only woman that had served on the staff at the school where she attended and created this, her patent and everything. That was pretty major.
The so-called black woman.
Yeah.
The original woman.
Exactly.
Leading the way. And going to her last name, who taught the Europeans how to bathe.
Yeah.
That's a big part of history. Even going to American history, the ancient Americans were known for their healing baths, mineral baths and things like that.
Right. Yeah.
Which is where we get a lot of modern day spas and stuff from.
Yeah, exactly. And things like the sauna and the sweat houses, things like that.
And that was a science within itself, because a lot of that was based on the energy and the properties of the crystals, because a lot of those baths were like crystal baths.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were. They took them like in like a mineral well, I guess, to put it in that type of way.
Yep.
Almost like a rock quarry, with pools in it.
Yeah, that's how they did it. And people, like, it was well known, like these mineral wells and baths, like worldwide well known. People all over the world would come. For instance, I believe it's like a, I don't know if it's a spring or mineral spring in I think it's the Uchita Mountains. It's somewhere, some kind of mineral spring.
And the inventor of potato chips.
Yeah.
You got Saratoga Springs. He was from Saratoga Springs, George Crump.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He was known as a black Indian, Native American person.
Wow. What's his name again?
George. You can either find him under George Speck, S-P-E-C-K, or George Crumb.
Yeah.
But it's all the same person.
Creator of the potato chip.
His name, you know, you got two different names for the same person. Just like us as a people, we're called by many names. But anytime you hear those names, it's always referring to us, the people.
Exactly. Yeah.
As many times we had, even like in Africa, you have people. You got family names, then you have community names, and then you have your names that you have in your work environment. You know, you have different names for your different environments.
Yeah,
and community.
That's right. You know, that's where the whole, like, nicknames come from. It was really, you know, nicknames is like a foreigner way of calling it, but we had names more than just one name where I was saying, like you were saying.
One name.
Yeah.
But what do we call ourselves? What are we? Who are we?
Right.
And where do we come from?
That's the question. It's a question we should ask ourselves.
Especially in this being Black, Negro, African American History Month.
Oh, yeah.
that's a big part of our history, but it's a big part that a lot of people don't know.
Right.
And a big part is right under their nose.
Exactly. Who were we before we were called black or African American or Negro, colored?
And what were our accomplishments and achievements on the world stage?
Yeah.
The mom. And who taught the knowledge of the pyramids?
Exactly. Why are there more pyramids in America than any other place in the world?
Why? Why are most of the older artifacts in the South than in the North?
Exactly.
When we know the people we call Indians came from the North.
Yep.
And they don't claim the mound.
Nope. It was.
What kings and queens and royalty do we have here in America that we are too privy of that we should be talking about during this period we call Black History Month?
Exactly. That's the whole problem. One of the major problems I just see with Black History Month is, you know, just the whole word black, and then trying to define a people by black. So labeling people as black, what makes a person black? You know, is it just skin color or is it culture? Like, how does that work?
That is that people adopt it.
Right.
Because many know their culture. I was speaking with a lady today, an older lady, just about me finding out about my tribal history being Choctaw. And she interjected and told me that she was Choctaw. She's about 50 or 60.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she was telling me her grandfather was Choctaw and full-blooded and looked like me. But he knew the language and never, you know, he never really taught the younger ones
right. The
language. It never really got passed down. And it's like our elders know who they are, but they haven't adopted the status that was given to them when they were younger.
Ah.
And I see a divide now where the youth want to know who they really are, but the elders don't either have the complete knowledge to tell them or just don't know.
Exactly.
Do we have any questions?
Let's see. See if we got anyone on the phone lines. Now's the time. If y'all have any questions or comments, feel free to call in. There's no one on the phone line right now, but the line is open.
Yeah, I think it's more important now than ever, especially with the stuff Donald Trump is doing, if you really pay attention. With the immigration moves and everything of that nature. If
yeah.
you don't know who you are as connected to this land, or you're connecting yourself to another land or continent, what will happen to you in the very near future?
Exactly.
And I had a conversation with somebody the other day, which really stuck out to me. If you think about it, people, when they come to this country who are of darker hue, either get labeled one thing status-wise,
which is not usually what we are status-wise in this country, or they come with knowledge of who they are as a nation, what nation they come from.
Yeah.
But they come here and they become American. We go around the world and we're just black. We don't have a nation, although we're the true Americans.
Exactly.
And everybody else can come to our home and adopt our name.
Yeah, that's the sad thing about it. Really have to, you know, since it's Black History Month, I'm sure they're going to play a lot of that whole Alex Haley movie Roots. That's going to be pushed a lot during this time. It's probably going to be played in classrooms and universities all around the state and the nation. So they really going to perpetuate that whole slave trade, man, big time.
And even within that, there's still little clues. If you really read between the lines and watch between the lines, like when Kunta Kinte's wife said, "I'm not an African, I'm American."
Yep. That's right. And then also, yeah, you're right about that. Looking at just some of the customs and the way that they do things that we as a people do subconsciously, you know, it's something called cellular memory, where, you know, regardless if you forget it by generation, like something is not passed down. So it may seem like you forget it, but it's embedded into our DNA to do certain things and to, you know, just to do these customs. For instance, like jumping the broom. Jumping the broom is actually an indigenous custom before they got married. And I was amazed.
Before they were allowed to get married. And it's still, I have, as much as I've studied, I still have found no connection to jumping the broom to anything in Africa.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing about it. Yeah, there's nowhere, no connection to Africa, but it can be found in the Northeast indigenous tribes where they literally have a broom-like stick, and they would jump over that broom symbolizing a union. So that was pretty deep. Oh, yeah. Let's see. You got one caller. Let's see if there's any questions or comments. Last four digits ending in 6758. You have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas, the way of New Orleans, Louisiana. I just want to say I'm enjoying the show. I love the fact that you're giving a different, diverse of history of Negroid people, and you're not just putting us all into one category, which I don't understand how we accept.
Right.
We accept their nationality, we accept their sovereignty, but here we are hollering about mitochondrial DNA, but only claim one landmass. So first of all, I just want to really say thank you for that. And I do have a question a little bit about myself. You know, I'm from New Orleans. My daddy had me at 60. So I'm curious about something. I do know that since I was affected by Katrina and I came to Texas, there seems to be a complete cultural difference in people who are in touch. Like, for instance, in Louisiana, we have somebody, our grandparents, they told us who we are. Like, we don't, you know, it's a different world versus when I go to different parts of the states. I notice in a lot of different, you know, popular metropolitan cities, these people are not in touch with that. And I just kind of want to hear your comments concerning how come in more of the more rural, the less, I guess, urban or industrialized cities, there are more people that lineage-wise, they know about that from the people who are in their family versus people who are in the more industrialized cities.
I got a quick answer for you because it looks like you're running out of time. I grew up in Michigan. My grandma is from Alabama, and she, like you said, she was from the rural part of Alabama. She taught us who we were, you know, growing up. So I've always known, but I've noticed up here, you know, a lot of people don't know because they were more far removed from the people who were already in that rural region and dealing with our people. We've always dealt with our people down south. You know, it's nothing but us. So when we came up north, we were taught and raised up by the white people, and they were the ones who taught you from perspective. So that's my short answer.
Oh man, yeah, that's real true. Yeah, I was gonna add the same thing. I was born in Fort Hood, Texas, but you know most of my family is from Tallahassee, Florida, and I did notice that. I did notice that. You know, it's a little different divide as the culture that's passed down. You know, dealing with our family history orally, you know they didn't get it that much. I noticed because in Dallas. You know, the whole Dallas area, you know, that the city-wise, like Gavin was stating, like where all the industries and you have to learn the so-called white man's ways and you have to adopt them. And it's kind of like we have to do a decolonization because a lot of the information that we've acquired and, you know, the ways that we had to practice is not conducive to our identity. It totally wipes us. It separates us. That's why there's a divide, too, between, you know, just city people and country folk. Like country folk, my people from Tallahassee, you know, they have a very a deep connection with their own heritage. So, like on my
city folk, we'll call them backwards.
Right. Yeah, on my grandma's side, on my grandma's side, she passed down, you know, that information. And then she's on my mom's side, grandma's side. She's more from the country, and then my dad, who's from the city, is kind of opposite. So yeah. I can agree with that.
No, thank you. I really want to hear y'all guys. I don't want to hawk up no more time. Thank y'all. I'm gonna keep tuning in as long as y'all keep having the show.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Yeah, we went into overtime though, so you know if you just hang on the call, you'll be able to hear like the rest of the show. But anyone who hasn't called in. They won't be able to hear what we're saying until after the show is downloaded. But, so we just went over time. So, yeah, I guess we can continue on, Gavin, or we can wrap it up, bro.
It's all up to you. I mean, that was up. I like that question because I was actually speaking with somebody kind of on that earlier, even with the schooling. You have the indigenous schools in Canada,
yeah,
which we know that same type deal happened, where you have the indigenous children of Canada who were taught by the European invaders in boarding schools. The Europeans would force the children to go to boarding schools, and then while they were away at the boarding schools, the elders and their parents on the tribal lands either kept the information and didn't tell the children by fear of death,
right,
or they were killed because they didn't want to not hide the information from the children. So when would come back after being in the boarding schools under the tutelage of the Europeans, they were basically, you know, brainwashed, and if they wanted any true information, they didn't have anybody to go back to get it from. So it was lost in that way as well.
Yeah, that's true. I remember reading that as well. You know, it's kind of like the public school system and how they just force a lot of us to go get these public education. You have to get a public education. You know, if you're not going to school, you know, there's something wrong with you.
And the standardized testing, everybody has to be on the same thought pattern.
Right.
Same, you know, they want everybody to think the same, group think, instead of thinking for yourself.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And most people who think for themselves, if you really go back in their family history, they have some knowledge of self of who they really are.
Yeah, that's right. That's a powerful that's a powerful thing just to know who you are.
And for it to be confirmed by your family.
Yeah.
Because who is somebody from the outside to tell you that you and your whole entire family is lying?
Yeah. Yeah. Even in the military, they tell you, you know, the greatest weapon isn't a gun or bomb. It's the pen.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
So record, and even that with the South, you know, the old people in the South are some of the oldest libraries we got, because a lot of those records in the South were burnt down from school buildings, churches, you know, all the records that they had showing that they owned the land and things of that nature, and that they were the original people of the land. Was burned down.
Purposely.
Correct. I don't know where to take it from there.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, nobody can hear me. So we want to make... Hello?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know if y'all could still hear me. I was just listening. I was just, I didn't know if y'all could still hear me or not.
Okay, yeah, feel free, you know, if you have any thoughts you want to voice.
Well, I will say that, you know, I'm a friend of somebody through social media, and I do notice that's on the show. I appreciate your content, brother. That's why I like to share a lot of your stuff. And if this show, if y'all continue to have it, I will run my big mouth about it. You know I got a big mouth because you look at my posts. I will run my big mouth about this because it's only, you know, I think this is a way to get started, because there's only so much that, you know, I can tell a person or I can show a person. It's really more strength in numbers. And then when people want to give, you know, credit to, I really, 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 really do appreciate what's going on. And I'm glad to be one of the first callers. I love seeing things from a small beginning because, you know, it's more intimate there. You get more in touch with them fundamentals before you get down to that essence there. So that's all I really wanted to share. And I will be calling in and with more information and stuff like that that I hear. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to get going. What brought upon this conversation, I talk to a lot of elders. You know, I'm 30. I'm going to be 33. You heard me. One thing that gets me, because my pa had me at the age of 60, my mom was 47, that's elder people are like my cup of tea. That's what I talk to. So I notice, even though I'm a 33-year-old, when I talk to certain elders, that's, you know, 85, 90, when we get to talking and they get to listen to some of the stuff I say or what I'm hearing, they say, well, boy, you were black. And I had to remind an elder who was born 85, you're black. I said, well, wait a minute, sister, you weren't legally born. It's like they were.
Yeah.
to me, it's baffling because I didn't live through that. But one thing I can say that my father did, he wasn't. But so regardless of you in the city or not, I noticed just through that grouping alone, there's a very distinguishable difference of those of us who are more in touch with the information that's passed on through our families, through our lineage. And I'm like, well, when you think about it, that's the normal way that all of the other people, all of the other cultures or other species of humanoid get a lineage. So I just seeing that, I just it's amazing to me. I don't have words to describe it sometimes because I'm sitting up here like, well, wait a minute, you're 70 years my senior. How come you lived through this, but you seem to have forgotten completely? And that's all I'm having to say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Programming is deep, you know. It really did a mind job on us as far as, you know, just mentally, that mental enslavement was something.
Force some stuff upon you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. But when is the next show?
Yeah, tomorrow, same time, 11 p.m. Eastern time zone, 10 p.m. Central time zone. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Okay, well, definitely. I will be tuning in because, you know, I guess, well, since it's just us talking, I guess now, I'm obviously, I like the unorthodox history. I like the, the alternate facts. And I understand the difference between facts and truth, and they do not equivocate. So, you know, exactly. It's fun to hear different facts, but you can tell if it's true because look how it plays out your reality. So, I'm really excited about this. So I'm going to try to see if I can get some people, you know, that have this interest. This is another thing that I noticed, too, that being a very observant person, when you made the comment, I don't know if it was you or Brother Gavin, but that was very true when you said that the other Negroid people from other nationalities and other continents, that's absolutely correct. They come here knowing, having documentation, like, well, for example, a friend of mine that I'm staying with now, these are fully Negro people. These are South American Guyana Aborigines.
Yeah.
These are and I tell people that if you see her or you see her folks, you would just say, quote unquote, them niggas. No, these are Negroids. That's what they are. But it's a difference in pride, I noticed. It's a much more difference retrospect for those Negroes that come here, and they have a sense of sovereignty. It's a sense of value that I noticed that, you know, some of us, if we don't have the unconventional wisdom or the knowledge to go through, we don't have that. We don't have that, and that's something that I kind of wanted to. How is it possible that we marry the people that come from other continents that are interested in what we are interested? Like, how do we draw a line with these people that, because I, you know what I'm saying, not all skin folks is kin folks, regardless if they're indigenous.
That's right.
How do we as a movement or as a people become, you know, to include, to say, who's included in what we're doing? Individualistic standpoint, well, look where the hell it's got us now. As a collective, how do you suggest we do that?
You know, self-preservation is the, that's number one. You know, you have to isolate, you know, I believe. Isolation.
Hmm.
And, yeah, that's just how I see it, because, you know, integration was, like, a lot of people say integration was the worst thing that happened, you know.
Well, yeah, look at
I'm kind of half and half. Yeah.
Yeah.
just not even on an education standpoint, but from a job standpoint. A good portion of black teachers, good majority of black teachers lost their jobs because white schools didn't want to hire them. The black schools, all the white black people wanted to be integrated into the white schools. They didn't have really anywhere to teach anymore. So they had to learn a whole new trade.
You know, my father spoke to me about that, and I just, it's like, I don't know what some of these people were thinking. And, like, you hear me say that a lot on my posts, like, I had to run from school in Gertown and Greta, Louisiana to keep from being lynched. Like, that's my grandfather. I'm talking about my father, 1926.
Right.
What would make